Greetings to each one gathered here in Shirksville this bright Easter morning. Certainly a pleasure to be here. I count it a privilege to share a resurrection message for my Lord, something I can do for my Lord. And maybe it's because I'm a deacon. I haven't preached many resurrection sermons. I think most of the ministers do that. So to me, this is a privilege this morning to share a message about my Lord. Resurrection. I've entitled the message this morning with two words, new life. Springtime is a wonderful season of the year. It's my favorite season. Springtime is invigorating. It's the sun shining, the green grass, all those things. I have some little delicate crocuses that push themselves out of the ground. Beautiful. But they're so fragile, not long. They don't last very long at all. They wither away. The beautiful crocuses, those dazzling daffodils, all part of spring. And after a bit, won't be long, those tulips will be shooting forth their beauty. In the garden, the peas are up. It's a little row. My wife put them in early. We've gone in a little earlier since there's a little drier spell than we do sometimes. But they're coming up. The onions are shooting up. The other vegetable plants are growing. I know I'm talking to some farmers here this morning. I'm not a true-blown farmer. I'm just a hobby farmer. But I still have the farming in my blood, as it were. So I have a little goat herd at my place. So late winter, I've had quite a few kids. I have white ones, all white, all black ones, brown ones. White and brown, black and white. Beautiful little kids. Beautiful. They scamp around, and when it's nice and sunny, they lay in the sun and just soak up its rays. 27 of them all. They're doing all their fancy dances and so on. Beautiful. Whole part of springtime. Beautiful time of the year. A little over a week ago, our fifth grandchild was born. We had our all-day meetings last Sunday, and so in between the afternoon session and evening session, my wife and I went over, held a little grandbaby, a little boy, Kent and Miranda's son. And you see, new life, so amazing, so fragile, but yet so beautiful, new life. The potential of new life maturing and prospering is a great gift from God. Today is a new day. It's a special day. It is named Easter. Easter is a new day this year because it's a new year, 2021. It can be a challenge for preachers to take what is an established fundamental belief of the resurrection and make it feel new. So I have that burden upon my back, as it were, to take something that's so old and so foundational and somehow to make it alive in my life, in your life, this morning. It's my intention to do that. I'll do the best that I can to share this old, old story with, as it were, a new emphasis. Try to be enthusiastic. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I'm taking most of my thoughts from this chapter. Luke chapter 24, very simply stated, the background for Luke 24 is Luke 23. There we have in Luke 23 the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The physical body of Jesus died and was buried in the sepulcher. I'd like to read the first six verses of Luke 24 at this time. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces, to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. So here in the first verse, we have the women coming to the sepulcher. The first day of the week, and it says it was early in the morning. Early. I don't believe in those days they had a flashlight. Maybe they had some torch that they went early. I'm not sure how early it was. Was it still pitch black? I'm not sure. But the scripture says they went early. So these women were diligent in their care of the physical body, the dead body of the Lord Jesus. They wanted to anoint his body, put spices and so on upon it. So they woke up early, resurrection morning. They expected to come and, yes, work on the body of Jesus Christ that died a short time before. I don't find any of the disciples anticipating this resurrection. None of them. Even though Jesus said, and I'll get to that, some scriptures that he said that he was going to arise in 3 days after he was killed. Children anticipate their birthdays. They think it's so much fun, and it is for them. When you get to my age, birthday just means you're getting old and older. It was interesting, my son-in-law, I just turned 50 the other week, and my son-in-law said, well, he said, you're not old. He said, you're just oldish. I like that. Just creeping that way, you know. But birthdays for children are anticipated. And 16-year-olds, when you turn 16, you anticipate driving. My daughter's 16, she's driving. She anticipates it. She can't wait till dad's not sitting over on the passenger side giving her all these instructions. She wants to do it on her own. That's good. They anticipate that. Dating couples anticipate that wedding day. Wedding day. Parents anticipate their firstborn. Families anticipate vacations. And the list goes on and on and on. But I don't find in Scripture anywhere where the disciples anticipated resurrection morning. They did say, when the two disciples that were walking toward Emmaus Road, he said, then this is the third day. So it was back in their mind a little bit that this is the third day, but we can't make, as it were, anything out of all these details. But I don't find any anticipation for the Lord's resurrection from his disciples. It says in Luke 24:11, it says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The women told him, hey, Jesus' body is not in the tomb. They just cast it off, just a tale that women are telling. We don't believe it. Jesus told them in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In John 2:19, Jesus answered the Jews and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So Jesus had told them clearly what was going to happen. But no, the disciples weren't anticipating resurrection morning. Jesus' disciples were taught, yes, clearly, about his death, but then they forgot about Easter morning. Luke 24:8, in the context of the angels speaking to women at the sepulcher, they were taught there. It says they remembered his words, Jesus' words. They remembered Jesus' words. After the angels told these women, it says, you know, and they told them some of the truth. And then all, as it were, the lights came on their mind, and we remember some of the words of Jesus. Human minds can only process a limited amount of information at a time. And I'm not blaming the disciples overly much, because I don't think I would have done any better. Your Lord and Savior dying. And you know, they were looking for Jesus to be the Messiah for Israel, to lead them out from the Roman government, the yoke of the Romans, and be free of that. That's what they were looking for. And all of a sudden, Jesus was on the cross, gave his life. He died and was buried in the sepulcher. And so their minds were full of this. How to digest all that information so quickly. So I give them, as it were, a credit for their humanity. The crushing reality of Jesus' crucifixion and death, I believe, was weighing heavily on their minds. And I believe that's some of the reason why they didn't anticipate resurrection morning. But from that time on, I believe Christians, you, this morning, I heard your voices raising, you know, in clarity and in strength this morning with those resurrection songs. It's a blessing. Enjoyed that very much. All the singing. And so Jesus' disciples today, from that time to today, resurrection morning, we anticipate it, and we sing about it, and we preach about it, we teach about it. Now the disciples of Jesus anticipate it. But Jesus had something to say to his disciples. He says, slow of heart, hard to believe. So Jesus chided them for not anticipating his resurrection. So we must lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24:2 says, the stone blocking the sepulcher was rolled away. Rolled away. Power. God's power in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'll raise myself up. Raise myself up. It was God's power. There was the Trinity. So Jesus could raise himself up out of the grave. Know that the angels came and rolled the stone away, but it was Jesus' power to the angels. Luke 24:3, and it says, there they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So we have all these realities coming into the disciples' minds, their hearts, as they've been taught. Luke 24:5 says, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus was alive. He arose from the grave. He was not there. He didn't have a dead corpse anymore. No, he was alive and well. Luke 24:6, he is not here, but is risen. New life came into the dead body of Jesus. Jesus said, I will raise it up again in 3 days. This life was supernatural. The life that Jesus had now is supernatural. Jesus died once, never to die again. He lives forever. He's at the right hand of the Father this morning. Jesus died that we might live. Jesus has risen that we might triumph over sin, death, and the grave. Do you have new life this morning? Do you have that new life this morning, that spiritual life? If not, ye must be born again. New life is necessary to be victorious in the Christian life. That holy seed must be planted in our hearts, that new birth experience. New life, as I'm talking about this morning, I want to bring in the 5 steps to salvation. There could be some young lad here, some young lady that is contemplating becoming a Christian. I don't know all of you. But as I speak about new life this morning, I couldn't help but speak about the 5 steps of salvation that someone here this Easter morning, this Easter day, might turn their hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, experiencing that new life. Number one, acknowledge. First step of salvation, we must acknowledge. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might be a Mennonite child here this morning sitting on these pews, but you have sinned. I have sinned. Everyone here has sinned. We all have sinned. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by nature. And you can't live your life perfectly without having the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you. By your own works, you will not get to heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. Number two, repent. Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance is necessary. Repentance. We understand, I've heard it many times, that when we repent, our faces were one way and we turn completely and head the other direction, completely. The opposite direction. That's repentance. We repent of our sins. We cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and use his blood to wash away our sins. Number three, confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is good for us at a time of conversion to just freely confess our sins to the Lord God and ask for his cleansing power in our experience. Confession, number three. Number four, believe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ died, as we talked about in Luke 23. Luke 24, he arose, and that is to give new life to all people that would come to the foot of his cross. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, last one, forsake. John 8:11, Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Who of you here as Christians at your conversion from that time on never sinned? Jesus says, go forth and sin no more. Now, I want to be real. All of us, including myself, I believe all of us have had our failings and come short. But what we do with that is so very important. We must again repent, confess, and yes, turn the right way. Walk the straight and narrow way. Go and sin no more. You must be born again. This is the path to new life. What a blessing, the salvation plan, to experience new life in our experience. I remember I was a little older when I became a Christian. I remember the time I was sitting in the truck with my dad. And Dad had a emotional intelligence, and he said something to me. He said, do you want to become a Christian? Or I said, yes, I do. My dad somehow could feel us out and put the words in it. I was 16 when I became a Christian, a little older than some. But it was a new start. It was very precious to me, that first time I met the Lord face to face, as it were, by faith. Very precious. New life came into me. Sure, from that point on to 50, I've had my ups and downs. I've always had a desire to serve the Lord from then on. And our children come to us. Some come to me, some come to my wife. We want to become a Christian. What a blessing. They want new life also. They want new life. New life. Remember my son a few years ago. We were coming in our lane around the house. I always remember the corner in our lane. He said, Dad, he said, I want to become a Christian. What a blessing. This thrilled my heart. So we went in my office, asked my wife to come. We went through the steps of salvation. He found the Lord, new life. One time I was in my office, and my wife knocked on the door. And she said, our daughter wants to become a Christian. What a blessing. New life. It's still real today. Resurrection power is still real today. It's happening. It happened in my experience. It happened in your experience. It's happening in our children's experience. I don't have old enough grandchildren yet to happen, but I look forward to that time if the Lord tarries. When my grandchildren will call me or their parents will say, hey, your grandchild became a Christian. It goes on and on. New life. New life. It's because of the resurrection power that we have life today. It brings joy to lead souls to the foot of the cross, to have them pour out their sins and confession before the Lord. It's so great as they come up off their knees and you see peace on their face. Peace, joy. What a blessing. We must meet Jesus for the first time to find new life. It must be an initial experience, and from then on we must go on with Jesus Christ. It's by faith. Keep our spiritual life new and lively. We must possess resurrection power. Initially, it is a salvation plan, but the daily Christian life, we must do all we can to not grieve the Holy Spirit. There's a little short verse in the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Because at the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, inside of us, inside of our temple, our physical temple. The Holy Spirit comes in there. From then on, from a Christian, From that stand, from the initial point, and day by day, month by month, year by year, we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Very simple, sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. We must confess our sin as a Christian if we fall into sin and deal with it. I'm talking about little sins, but for big sins, it needs to come before the congregation and cleared and so on. We understand that. But if we take care of those little, as it were, sprigs, those little weeds, those little shoots of whatever, those little locust shoots, and our shatter cane in the farmer's fields that want to shoot up and take away the good moisture and so on from the good plants, we must cut them off daily, mortify them, cut them off again and again. There's resurrection power to live above sin. There is. I believe that we don't just talk the right talk. We all believe that, right? We don't just talk the right talk. So many people, you know, just talk the right talk, but we must live the right talk, as it were, too. We must live the Bible. And that's where it becomes very hard sometimes. As we're tested, as we're tempted, to always respond like Jesus did. To always choose the right choice like Jesus did. It's a hard thing to do. But we can do it by God's power. If we fall down, it says the righteous man will get up 7 times. If we fall down, we'll get back up. We won't just lay flat and say there's no hope. No, we'll get up and we'll go again. Spiritual power raised up the dead body of Jesus. Spiritual power convinced the disciples with infallible proof of Jesus' resurrection. Spiritual power convinces us there's new life at Easter. Spiritual power convinces us God is the creator of all new life, spiritually and physically. God is a great creator. God loves new life. God loves to plant the holy seed in the hearts of those that come for the cross. He loves to do that. Jesus is in the saving business, and the Holy Spirit's in the saving business. God the Father's in the saving business. He wants to save the whole world. But not all the whole world, not all people will come to salvation because of their choice to serve the flesh and sin. But it's the desire of our Father God to bring all men to Him. That's His desire. Now I want to look a little further in the chapter here, Luke 24. A little later in the chapter, Luke 24, verses 33 to 43, I'd like to read now. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Jesus spoke these words to them in verse 36. "Peace be unto you." Peace be unto you. And he's saying that to you this morning. Those, like Brother Jesse said about going through his physical suffering, Jesus is saying to you, "Peace be still." Saying to all of you, I don't know your hearts, what you're struggling with. There are quite a few children here, and I know how it is to be in the heat of raising children. I know how that is. Jesus would be saying to you, "Peace be still. Peace be unto you." Maybe you're an older person, not only oldish, but getting old. Jesus would say to you, "Peace be unto you." And Jesus is saying to the Nolte family, "Peace be unto you this afternoon." They lay a loved one away. Jesus wants to give us peace in our new life. He wants us to have peace. We lay our heads on our pillows tonight, Lord willing. Jesus wants us to have peace. And we say, "Peace be unto you tonight. Get a good night's rest." But the disciples were terrified, it says in these scriptures. They were terrified. They thought they saw a spirit. They weren't used to this. They were seeing bodily forms like I'm seeing here this morning. They were terrified. All of a sudden, Jesus was there. They were affrighted. And Jesus would say to anybody terrified this morning, peace be unto you. If you're affrighted this morning, like the disciples, peace be unto you. Luke 24, 41 says, And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Jesus asked the disciples for something to eat. I think the reason was, maybe two, probably multiple reasons why Jesus did it, but one reason was they were so terrified, so affrighted, that Jesus was saying, "Say, give me something to eat. I'll show you that I have a physical body now. It's supernatural, but he ate. They gave him some honeycomb. They gave him a broiled fish. And he ate of it. I believe their fears kind of just subsided when he realized this just wasn't a spirit that couldn't eat. No, this was a body that could eat. And I believe their fears and so on came down. But I like the fact that Jesus said, is there any meat? Is there any food here? And they gave something to Jesus. My question to you this morning, to myself, does Jesus want you to give him something this morning? Jesus is asking you, have you any meat? I believe you all would invite Jesus Christ to your table this afternoon, right? After the service. If you knew Jesus was here, he is here. I mean, if you would see him with a formal body, you would invite Jesus Christ and give him the meat of your table. You would do that. I know you would, because you're hospitable people. You're Christian people, and that's what Christian people do. They even do that for strangers. Yes. But do you have something that Jesus would like for you to give to him? Now, he has everything. He's owner of all things. But you're his disciple. And God, Jesus asked you to use your hands to be his hands, your feet to be his feet, your mouth to be his mouth. He wants you to give something to him. He wants me to give something to him. I'm giving a little bit this morning. I'm preaching his resurrection experience some. And I count that a privilege. But he wants more from me. He wants more. What meat can I give Jesus? What meat can you give him? The question this morning. Whatever Jesus' finger rests upon in your life, give it to him. Give it to him. Jesus wants it. Jesus wants you to invest in his everlasting kingdom. So what would you give to his kingdom? What can you give to his kingdom? Well, you can give your all, your body. You can give your talents. You can give the cash in your wallet this morning as the offering plate went around. You can dedicate your children. They need to make their own choice, but they can be influenced greatly to serve him. Jesus wants you to invest in his everlasting kingdom. When we invest in it, it's forever settled, as it were. I mean, when we invest in this kingdom, it's never lost. We can invest in some project to make income, but maybe the animal dies. The animals die, and so we lose some of our investment. I have a wood shop, part owner, my dad and brother and I, it's a three-owner business. And a good many years ago, there was a little fire in where our sawdust, we were blowing our sawdust out in another building. And a little fire started, must have been early in the morning, came into the shop, and the shop was all full of smoke. It was just only, if it had caught a little bit more air, it would have been up in smoke, everything. And so we have these things we work with, but they can go in an instant. But when we invest in the everlasting kingdom of God, it's never lost. It is never, ever lost. That's a treasure. That's a pleasure. To be a soldier in the kingdom of our dear Son. So what will you give Jesus this morning, this Easter day? What will you give Jesus? The last passage of Scripture I'd like to read is 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, I'd like to start reading, break in at verse 42 and go to the end of the chapter. And look for the resurrection power in these verses. Look for the resurrection power. 1 Corinthians 15, starting to read at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Death is swallowed up in victory. It says death does have a sting to it. It does. The Knoll family is experiencing that sting. It's only April now, and I went to, I think it was the 4 viewings already this year, people we knew, trying to support. And so death has been knocking on different family doors, as it were, house doors. And death lets a sting. Death lets pain, agony. But through the resurrection power, all shall live. All shall live by resurrection power. The Christian shall live again, as far as even his earthly body will live again. That's where death is swallowed up in victory. The grave's not going to hold us. No, it won't hold us any more than Jesus' body was held in the sepulcher. Christ's power is going to bring our body up out of the ground if we go that way. We all look forward to the time when the trump sounds and we don't need to go to the graveyard, our corpse. We don't need to go to the graveyard. Now, we want the trump to sound in our lifetime, don't we? Remember my grandfather, Willis. He believed that he wouldn't die. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to come before he died. It was a good, and the scripture says we should have that hope in us that Jesus will come in our time. But he is dead and gone for over 15 years. Gone. But he's in heaven, we believe. And so, the generation comes on the scene, the generation leaves, goes to the graveyard. The grave will not hold our bodies. The resurrection power will lift us up out of the grave, and it'll be the first to be with Jesus Christ. Those that are alive will be caught up together in the air to be with him. New life. That'll be real new life. Now, we have a down payment in our experience, like I said about the salvation plan, the new birth, that new life. We have that down payment in us. But whenever this corruptible body will put on incorruption, that's real new life. Real new life. That'll never be taken away from us. We won't lose it by sinning. We won't lose it ever. When we have that change, that glorious change, it'll be victory over all sin, death, and the grave. O grave, where is thy sting? There is victory through our Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. In closing,